right. It's Greg Gutfeld. This is the one. All right. I'm going to have a little quiz here. There are two North Korean experts at Fox News, and I have the one who isn't Gordon Chang.
You have the one with the personality.
Oh, that's me. I like Gordon. Gordon knows his stuff.
Yeah, but my statement stands.
You're a meanie. He's dry. Yeah. You are bubbly. Yeah. How about that?
Sure. Okay. That's a good euphemism.
Thank you. All right. Michael Malice is here. He's an author, a columnist. I would call him a weirdo. I would call you a weirdo, right?
I would call you a pot kettle.
Yes. Yes. You just have a weird background, and you became an expert in North Korea.
Yeah.
Because you wrote a book called Dear Reader, and you spent like how many a week two
a
weeks
week there a week yeah. there yeah
and you are now an expert. Now, does that say a lot about your extensive experience or the lack of expertise of everybody else?
Well, it's both. Yeah. But I mean, I did read 60 books to write my book. So
oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's more books than I've read in my life. No, I kid. I try to read a book a month.
Yeah, but it's your own.
Yes. That's true. Well, it's the same book.
This really is too cool.
By the way, it was uncool. How dare you?
Oh, sorry.
I love the name of your podcast. It's called You're Welcome. And it's inspired. It's really inspired. It's inspired. I have to say it's inspired. Last time we actually went out drinking. Where did we go? We went drinking two years ago?
Yeah.
You don't drink.
I barely. It makes me meaner.
Yeah, but I drank a lot.
Yeah, a fair amount.
So you did okay.
Yeah.
But I just don't remember where we went.
It's around the corner from Caroline's.
Were we at Caroline's?
Because we were going to meet DL.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That was fun.
It was a kind of pub place that has two floors. I don't remember what it's called.
That's right. That's right. This is what's good when you're out with somebody who doesn't really drink. They can remember. They can remember the stuff. So you do have a lot of knowledge in North Korea. That's why I wanted to talk to you because we haven't talked in a while anyway. And I always look forward to saying hello to you in a hallway and walking quickly past.
Well, we are eye level to each other.
Yeah, we're the only people of the same height
After that Munchkin died last week, it's yes, just us left.
It's terrible. Anyway, I looked up to him. You know, but the thing is, am I right to be optimistic? Like you had a good tweet about the North Korea situation when you said, like, if you can't see this as good news.
If the possibility of peace is worse for you than the possibility of war, there's something fundamentally wrong with you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of hypocrisy going on here. People just – I get it. If you don't like Trump, you don't like anything he's involved in. But that I think that's where this is coming from, right?
I don't get it because if there's any possibility that concentration camps are going to be shut down and somehow this is an issue for you, you are a horrible –
Yeah.
I'm not kidding at all. And when President Trump says that the press is the enemy of the American people, this is showing that he was being way too subtle, that the press is the enemy of the humanity.
Wow.
Because we have 25 million hostages in North Korea.
Right.
We have a guy with a gun to the back of every single one of their heads. Mm-hmm. So if you want to tell him nice things in order to have him hand over that gun to you, you tell him what he needs to hear.
That's so true. That's a great way to put it. And that leads me to – I wanted to ask you, did you watch that video? You saw the video that they did. As Scott Adams would call a study in contrast,
yes,
where they presented – Trump presented this video about America and about what you could have.
Yeah.
And I thought – and I know that a lot of people made fun of it. I saw it as something pretty powerful. I don't know. What did you think?
There's something very disgusting in our media about this need for cynicism at all times. Mm-hmm. When you have children who are starving and when you have people who are detained three generations by the police for no reason, to show them a little bit of hope and to kind of, if you're going to have to use propaganda on a very basic level, Kim Jong-un is not watching shows 24/7 with commercials.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what the Activia ads are, right?
Yes.
So it's for him, the whole point of this ad is you can be the one who brings your country prosperity. You could be the hero for the North Korean people. Look how great you will be. You will go down in history. It was totally Dale Carnegie stuff,
right,
feeding right into his ego, and that's the exact right thing to do. What's the alternative? You're a bloody murderer and we're going to go in and kill you all?
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's the only alternative.
It is. And we've been saying that forever. And I looked at the body language and I saw look, you know more than me about this. And Kim could be screwing with us. This could be
sure.
He could go right
100%.
Back and just say, hey, just kidding. But I felt like that. You mentioned Dale Carnegie. And I want to talk about the Scott Adams kind of element to this because you had him on your show yesterday. That there's almost this assumption that it's already happening. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it's already happening, and it's almost like mass hypnosis. That I mean, it's like it's actually going to happen. When I saw Kim there, I felt that he saw it happening. But I could be right. I know I'm not making any sense.
You're making perfect sense, because what you're speaking about is there seems to be this momentum, mm-hmm. right? That basically on paper, they didn't agree to that much. But in the long term, they agreed to more meetings. Mm-hmm. He's going to come to America and we're going to continue this process. Mm-hmm. And here's another one that the press has gotten completely wrong. They stopped firing their missiles. They stopped missile testing. Fair. In exchange, President Trump's like, we're not going to have these staged invasions of North Korea.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, my goodness. Listen, if he's committing ostensibly to peace, it's not that much to ask to be like, you know, while I'm talking to you, maybe you shouldn't have people running around outside my house with guns.
Yeah.
Just for the time being.
And we can always go back to that. Same with the sanctions. I mean, the sanctions are still going to be there, and they might not be there, but all these things could be reintroduced.
Easily.
Yeah. This way, I'm glad you're making sense to me. How was your podcast with Scott Adams? I'm always curious because I find him fascinating. Did you guys talk about North Korea?
Oh, of course. So Scott Adams and I were the only kind of very few people who saw where this was going.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of my book and the point I've been making on Fox and other outlets is this is a rational, evil country. Mm-hmm. They have a logic to what they do. This did not happen overnight. I remember when I first started working in this space and when the book first came out, people were talking about how North Korea is suicidal. And the point I was made is they've been around for 70 years. They've outlasted everyone. How are you suicidal if you're the only one left? You're really bad at it.
Yeah.
So and that he's crazy and all this other stuff. And like now everyone seems to understand, at the very least on the right, that he's not crazy at all. He's a horrible murderer mm-hmm. with he's morally depraved, mm-hmm. but he's perfectly logical in maintaining his hold on power and having, you know, no qualms about doing what it needs to take to maintain that hold on power.
Yeah, and you can have – I think you can hold those two ideas together.
Yes.
That he is a horrible person, but you can deal with him.
Right.
Because what – again, the other option is you starve the country to death or you bomb it.
They did start – in the so we already did this. We bombed them in the 50s with the Korean War, right?
Yeah.
In the 90s, they were – Kim Jong-il, the father, allowed 1 to 2 million people to starve because he said if we let the UN bring in food, it's going to make government superfluous.
Right.
And he said, you know, having too many people makes socialism difficult. So they had a genocide already in the 90s, because when you have the sanctions, they blame it on us, and the people are the ones who suffer.
Mm-hmm.
So the two choices are peaceful negotiation or war and hostilities. And Meghan McCain was on The View. I may be mischaracterizing what she said. I only saw the headline comparing Kim Jong-un to Hitler.
I saw the headline. Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, okay, if we had gotten Hitler to close the concentration camps down, would that have been a bad thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you spin that as, like, no Auschwitz? Oh, boo-hoo. This is the goal.
Yeah,
the goal is to close the camps.
The thing is, I think I said this on The Five the other day, is like, there are bad eggs on this planet. We get it. But at some point, we have to deal with them and figure it out. Like, unless we either destroy them or we meet with them. And I'm actually okay with destroying them. But why not show them the movie first?
Yeah,
show them the movie.
Yeah, because if we don't deal with them, it's the people who are suffering, because they're the ones who every day are victims of this regime.
Yeah.
And another thing, which you know some of these dimwits don't realize, the people in these concentration camps, there's around 200 to 300,000 people in these camps, are told explicitly all the time to their face, if the U.S. imperialists, that's us, ever invade, we are going to kill you all and burn these camps down. Mm. So day one, you have genocide if there's any kind of invasion.
Right.
So you have to, when you're dealing with a hostage situation,
mm-hmm.
you have to respect, not in the sense of admire, but respect the guy who has the gun.
Yeah.
He has the power to do bad things, and you have to acknowledge that.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. How do you respond to, and it's the whataboutism that you get with, like, well, what about you were against the Iran and Cuba. You the same people that are lauding this are mocked Obama over Cuba and mocked, you know. Is there any legitimate point to that, or is it just
– I literally just tweeted this out right before we sat down. Mm-hmm. The same newspapers that were writing these obituaries for Castro
mm-hmm.
and singing his praises and what a great guy are now upset that Trump is kissing Kim Jong-un's ass in order to get him to do what he wants. I mean, would you rather have – but Trump is – here's the other thing where they're wrong. He's praising him publicly and all this other stuff. Every single time, he's also showing them the stick.
Yeah,
because when he canceled the summit, he said – we have a big nuclear arsenal. God forbid we ever have to use it.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we want this to go forward. It's a great opportunity. And Pelosi said this is a Valentine. What Valentine talks about your nuclear arsenal? I mean, what kind of dates are you going on,
yeah,
Nancy?
Yeah, that's such a good point. I'm taping the five layer, and I go, do not repeat the things Michael Malice says.
You could quote me.
I'll quote you. What is your assessment? You know, I was so hard on Dennis Rodman on the Gigi show. I think I called him Kim's bitch or something like that. I called him, and also I called him a useful idiot. But, you know, as a hearkening back to the Soviets. And now, you know, I saw him on CNN, and I'm like going, I couldn't see anything but sincerity and authenticity.
Yeah, I was on a show while this was happening. I wasn't seeing the footage, and I was coming down on him. Then I saw the footage, mm-hmm. and I had the exact same opinion as you. This is someone who's not very bright, mm-hmm. who's not very articulate, who desperately is trying to do what he can to bring some kind of peace to this thing. And it was very clear that his heart was broken mm-hmm. when he was trying to talk to President Obama, and he got shooed away. He's the only American who has got Kim Jong-un's cell phone number, right?
Yes.
And he's like, look, let me try to broker deal. Use me. Like, yeah. Please exploit my relationship.
Yeah.
And they weren't having it. And he was clearly heartbroken. And you know, again, as you can make fun of him all you want. He doesn't look that good in a wedding dress and all these other things. And he was a mess in The Apprentice both times he was on. But at the same time, there's an element of him, which is America at its best, where every single person is trying to do what they can to make the world slightly a better place. And he miraculously won the lottery, and he's in this unique position.
Yeah.
And I think CNN wanted him on to make this kind of carnival atmosphere and make this a laughingstock, and when he was crying, that seemed very sincere to me.
Yeah.
And it seemed like his heart was hurt.
I've seen enough of him to know what he does.
Yeah,
that was real. I mean, when the tears were pouring out of his eyes, I was sitting there, and my wife's behind me, and I go, look at this, like this is, and also the. He had the Trump hat on.
Right.
He had Potcoin.
Right.
And he's weeping. And it was like, Chris Cuomo, just don't say anything. You have the best interview. Yeah. This is the best thing I've seen on CNN. It was like, it was really moving. And I believe that he was a useful idiot, but at the same time, he was useful.
Right.
And I mean, it was like.
And the thing that drives me crazy is, where is the audacity of hope from the left?
Yeah.
This is exactly what Obama was talking about. When Obama was elected, you remember that night he said, if you think America is a thing where all things can't happen, tonight is your answer, right?
Yeah.
And that was very inspirational, that election day, that speech. And now the left has just gone completely into their choices were. So a year ago, remember this, Trump is bringing us World War III.
Right.
Now that he's not bringing us World War III, it's the end of the world. And somehow that's I mean, like, these are your choices.
Yes.
And here's the point I also made. If Trump is just a mediocre president, if he's William McKinley level, mm-hmm. everything that they've said has been a lie, because they've invested all their effort and all their credibility in that he's the worst president we've ever had.
Yeah.
So even if he's just kind of OK, they're screwed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They actually put the bar. Like, is it too low or too high? But it's so that, like, it's just they've made him into Satan. So
yes.
If he's just not quite Satan.
Yeah. If he's just a regular imp.
Exactly. Just a normal demon.
Yeah.
Not the head demon.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's like one of those gargoyles. What are those things that rest on your chest when you wake up in the middle
Succubus.
Of the night? Succubus.
Yeah.
I knew you would know what that is. What is those? Those happen when you have, what are those night terrors?
Yes.
You have a night
terror? That happened to me once with a succubus.
Yeah. No, same here. I had that. I actually, when it happened to me, I read up on it. But you wake up in the middle of the night, sleep paralysis, and there's a thing on your chest.
And I heard her saying, get up. And I couldn't. She goes, you can't. And I went, I got up, and I Googled succubus attack. I'm not even kidding.
Do you know that they think that that's why people think they've been what do you call it, UFOs abducted?
Oh, right.
People,
out of body.
Yeah. They think that the abductions are actually these night terrors.
Sleep paralysis,
yeah. I don't know how I got off on that when I thought of devils, and then when you said succubus.
Well, like succubus
look who's on Fox right now. Your nemesis, Gordon Chang.
He's not my nemesis.
I just like saying that. I saw him the other day. I had a chat with him. It's, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
That's how deep the bench is.
Snappy,
you and him.
Snappy dresser.
Yes, you're terrible.
And Kristen Tate.
Kristen Tate. She's so sweet.
I love her. We're close. Yeah. I think she was on Hannity or something talking North Korea. I'm like, come on, Tate.
You know what's great about Fox is our experts are humans. right? I mean, you're like,
I've never called human before. Oh, thank you so much, Greg.
Barely human. You're barely human. The other thing that a lot of people, like, when they see Trump do it, that there's a lot of flattery going on. And you mentioned it's like flattery looks so obvious, but the fact is it is actually working. I mean, it is working, and it's part of this whole, like, Scott Adams talks about the ego, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like the ego is like a thermostat or something. You can turn down, turn up, whatever. And people think that Trump is an egomaniac.
Sure.
But he's willing to just completely elevate somebody.
Right.
Or so it's the ego thing, as Scott Adams would say, is like a tool that he uses.
Yes, yes.
I think that's really interesting. I never really occurred to me.
And what else is, remember not that long ago, for Trump to call MS-13 animals was unconscionable.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's supposed to call Kim Jong-un an animal, right?
Yes.
So which is it?
What are the rules?
Rule is you have to do the opposite of what Trump does. Trump is out Obama-ing Obama in this context, and they can't handle it.
Yeah.
And I was talking about this with Tarlov and Kennedy yesterday. The Democrats are ostensibly the peace party, and now Trump was doing what Democrats for decades have said, diplomacy, diplomacy, diplomacy.
Yes.
We don't want war. I also tweeted this out. I wish the left was as supportive of Trump's summit with Kim as they were of George W. Bush invading Iraq.
Oh, you're so true. You know what it is, too? It's the liberals and the Democrats that always talk about and campus liberal about having a national dialogue.
Yeah.
You need to have a dialogue. And so now you have an international dialogue and they're like freaking out.
Yeah.
They're freaking out. And I will say there's hypocrisy on the other side, like right wingers who are like, you know, thinking this is wonderful. That's why I think Trump has killed ideology, right? I mean, almost to a point where, like, right and left is so screwed up, I think.
Yeah, well, I think he's driven people like the Bill Kristols and the other dinosaurs into apoplexy.
Yeah. It's true. It's
Bill Kristol retweeted that video that Trump made just with the vomiting emoji. And I'm like, he's not trying to sell it to you.
Yeah.
He's selling it to him.
Yes.
So you already sold on how great America is.
Yeah.
You don't need to watch this.
That is like – and it is – the worst – I hate – cliches like, you know, the Trump derangement syndrome, because everybody uses it. But I mean, you look at Crystal's not stupid, but he can't. He's blind.
There's
he's
something complete, going on. It's
he's
clearly
completely
psychological.
Blind.
And,
yes.
And here's the other thing: when Reagan talked to us about a shining city on a hill mm-hmm. of America, all these people applauded.
Yeah.
And now Trump is showing the same video.
Same video.
To Kim. Pyongyang could be that shining city on a hill. It's like, oh my God, this guy's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's the Reagan video.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, and or also
morning in America, morning in Pyongyang. It's the same concept.
Exactly. And you could. This could be like it's like a sales marketing tool for a you know, condo. But or what? He's got the same sales techniques. This
yeah.
is imagine yourself here. It's the it's the like imagine yourself. It's the what is again to use the Scott Adams phrase, or maybe it was Cialdini. It's a getting past the sale.
Yeah.
You get the guy already buy it. You get him to test drive the car.
Right.
He thinks he's in the car.
Right.
The car is his. And so he that video is getting past the sale. This could be your life.
Yeah, your life.
Your life.
This is you. It's all about you.
Yeah, exactly. It was so funny. There were people making fun of the quality of it because it was like – it was bootlegged. And now they have the high def. It looked like a Scientology video.
Sure.
You see it across with a timeshare presentation, but it wasn't for us because we've seen that.
But those Scientology videos work.
Exactly.
Those timeshare videos work. That's
yes.
the whole point. Here's the other one where the press, I was like, I can't believe you people are saying this with a straight face. They were saying how Kim is going to run circles around Trump in terms of negotiating.
Yes.
It's possible Kim Jong-un is the best negotiator on earth. What evidence do you have of this?
Yeah.
You know nothing about him. You've never seen him negotiate with anyone except Mike Pompeo in secret.
Yeah.
Literally, show me your evidence. And they don't have any other than Trump has to be the worst person ever.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, this crew, Pompeo, I think there is something about the – I have more faith in these tough – you got Bolton, you got Pompeo, you got Trump. It's not John Kerry.
No.
Yeah, John Kerry, you look at him and you go, that's a guy that you can run circles around like a bench could run
right.
circles around him.
Right.
The guy is just so stiff. The Bolton's people made that video, I think.
Is that true?
I saw that Mediaite, I think. I hate mentioning that place. But they said – I think it was the State Department. It was his people. And that's interesting. It looked like videos from the Gutfeld Show does these fake movie trailers.
Right.
Like they're called Executive Action, starring Donald Trump, Kim Jong-un. And – they did it. It was like incredible. It was. I was looking at it. And I'm going like, wow. Like this could be a thing that you do. It's from his. It's from Trump's toolbox that no politician really used.
Right.
A salesman.
And here's the other thing. All these aggressive like alpha types, Tillerson, Mattis, Bannon, they all said publicly, we're not going to war.
Mm-hmm.
War is not an option. These are the first people you'd expect to be, you know, beating the war drums. And they all said publicly, no, no, no. A war would be a disaster. We're not doing it.
Well, you know, if you go back like to Trump. Trump is a dove. I think he is.
Yes, he clearly
is.
He's a dove.
Remember, when everybody said he was for the Iraq War, but if you listen to that on Howard Stern, he was just like – he was doing the support the troops for the war. He was like, so you for the – he goes, yeah. He just kind of says – he goes like, yeah, well, it was – but then – he was always, I think, pretty strongly.
And bring the troops home is synonymous with being a dove. That's what being a dove means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, and he's, you know, the three countries that we're in the most is Germany, South Korea, and I forget what the third one is. Mm. Why are we in Germany?
Yeah.
Why are we in South Korea? South Korea at one point, it maybe still has the highest GDP in all of Asia.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's incredibly.
You think China's going to let some kind of hot war break out in the Korean Peninsula? Yeah, yeah. That's not happening.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting time we live in. Where do you see this? What do you have any – are you – able to make a prediction? I mean, do you want to make a prediction?
Because then
I could always play it back in a year.
Here's the big fear. Big fear, and I don't know why Bolton keeps talking about this and Giuliani keeps talking about this.
Oh, Libya.
It's Libya.
Yeah, I know.
Does Kim Jong-un,
so stupid.
Does Kim Jong-un want to go out that way like Gaddafi did?
Yeah.
But the thing is, North Korea is painfully aware of this. As I talk in my book, Kim Jong-il took the footage of the Romanian execution of Ceausescu, where he was put a bullet in him correctly, and showed it to all the party leaders every single day. And he said, if the masses rise up, this is what's going to happen to all of you.
Mm-hmm.
So they know at the very top when the North Koreans find out just how much they've been lied to over 70 years,
mm-hmm.
the concentration camps, the depravity, how is Kim going to be personally safe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that's a good question. The other thing that drives me crazy, and I'm tired of this argument, is, oh, that's great. The concession is the photo op. The concession is the photo op. It's like, if it's North Korea, the photo op doesn't really matter. He could make the photos.
Yes. He's already told everyone that the world is obsessed with him.
Yes.
Right? And here's another one. How are you going to have diplomacy and negotiations without any concessions?
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. It, again, goes back to the diplomacy argument. It's like, this is how it works.
Ideally.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to ask you, did I ever talk to you about this? This is going a total hard right because we're almost out of time. How did this happen with you and Harvey Pekar?
Pekar. What comes after the dining car? The Pekar. That's how he used to say it.
Very cute. I think I saw the documentary on him.
Yeah. It's not a documentary. American Splendor, the movie.
What's it called? Yeah, American Splendor. And what's his name was in it? Yeah, you're right.
Paul Giamatti.
I'm trying to get four things wrong in one day.
Like the title of my podcast.
Yes.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. I love that. I still love that because it actually is. It says so much. You're welcome. If you check it out, it's YOUR.
Right.
And it's just – but it's just – I don't know why it says something truthful just in the title.
It's amazing. Harvey – and this is actually good advice to all the listeners. Harvey was in town to do Stern. And the guy who produced the movie sent an email to everyone at the team, said, Harvey's in town with nothing to do. If you want to hang out with him, now's your chance. And I'm the only one who followed up on that.
Jesus.
And then he wrote a book about me. And it's amazing how the audacity of hope.
Yeah.
Take the meeting.
Yes.
Allow yourself to think something magical can happen in your life. And this has happened with you in your career.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen. And open yourself up to these possibilities that wonderful things can happen in your life.
Yeah.
And don't be cynical and think miracles can't happen to you. They can.
Yeah, it's true because like I didn't have a consistent direction.
Right.
I'm trying to even – like how this happened was meeting some dude at a bar from Fox News in London because Andrew Breitbart – it all started really because of writing at the Huffington Post.
Yeah.
I had a career in magazines. What got me this job was I said yes to a no-paying gig at the Huffington Post, and that's how I met Breitbart. And then Breitbart, like, we took off as fast friends, and then he told Fox.
Yeah.
If I hadn't done that, it never would have happened.
Right.
You know? Very strange.
And you also can't plan it. You don't know what's going to hit two and two together.
Yeah. Is he still alive?
No, he died on my birthday in 2010. That was fun.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Did he live near you?
No, he was in Cleveland. From off the streets of Cleveland, here comes American Splendor was the tagline.
And then what was the – when he
and
wrote –
the book is up to $70 now on Amazon because now that I've gotten some kind of notoriety, people are buying up all the copies. It came out in 2006.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So what are you working on now?
My new book on the new right is going to come out later this year.
Ooh. Is it now under your name?
Yes, sir.
Oh, so you're not ghostwriting. You're not a ghostwriting. You're a co-author.
Right. With one – yeah, yeah.
We won't go into some of those details, but So it's now. Can you give me a taste of what is the new right? Is it negative, positive? Is it
in the same way that I brought coherence and comprehension to the North Korean ideology? I'm bringing that to the new right, yeah, and their worldview, because so many people get it wrong in the press.
This new guy. It's already happening, and I profess ignorance. I don't know who's the guy.
I was the one who told you about this scene, and you kind of were like, "What are you talking about?"
Really?
Yes, I sat you down. I said, "Look, these are the people who are coming for you guys, and you don't even know about it." And you're like, "What? What?" This was like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, were we out drinking?
No.
There's a lot of things people tell me. I've been told some things. I can keep a secret because I won't remember it. I'll give you some great advice, but I won't remember anything. They go, "Greg, thanks for telling me. I ended up leaving my wife." I go, "What are you talking about?
Who? You're married?
You're married? What the? That's stupid. She was a great woman. Don't listen to me when I'm drinking, you idiot." All right, Michael. I got to get you back on my show soon.
I would love that.
It's hard because it's once a week, so I don't have as many spots going. But I will. I will.
I'm no Gordon Chang.
You've been on my show.
Yeah. Then the last time I was on was 2 years ago, and I was mean to Kat, and I haven't asked since.
Oh, what did you say?
But we're friends. We're cool now.
What did you
because
say?
Because we were talking about some. I was talking about something, and she goes, "Oh, are you one of those people who thinks it's cool to make fun of cats?" I go, "Not as cool as interrupting, apparently."
Oh, I remember that. Hey, were you on when we had an audience?
No.
Oh, the audience makes – it just changes everything.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like we have a live audience. It's fantastic. And but yeah, Michael,
always a pleasure.
See you soon, my friend.
Yes, sir.